Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Power Words Share number 106. Regarding the verbally abusive relationship, we went through a nice chunk of the book called that with that title, and how to recognize it and how to respond to it. And the author's name is Patricia Evans. Goes into depth about verbal abuse. And when, again, with her book, it's written in the gender version of how the male being the abuser and the female, the wife, being the abused. But like we said, in many of the Hagdamas of when we went through the Shiurim, that could be stereotypical, but unfortunately it goes both ways, and very often it can happen where the wife is extremely abusive and the husband is a victim of that abuse, even though that's not the typical male-female stereotype. So even though we word the Shiurim, when we word it here, is based on the book, and it's just hard to change genders all the time back and forth, which I do sometimes, and I got feedback that sometimes it can be confusing when I do that. So over here, we're the whole book was written primarily to women because that's, I guess, in statistically more of a common phenomenon. That's the way she wrote the book. So I'm wording it that way, but always know that it goes both ways. So what's very important to understand is to recognize it and to ask for that change, that hishtadlus. And there's ways to do it, you know, in a healthy way to protect yourself. The first stage of recognition, when you finally recognize that there is a real verbal abuse situation going on, is when you start to change by, you're changing from doubting yourself to doubting your spouse. And that's the beginning of a healthy transition of the one that's being abused, when they recognize, hey, you know, I was always doubting myself and my own sanity, but now I'm starting to doubt my spouse, my husband, that's acting this way towards me. And the wife starts recognizing the verbal abuse for what it is. And she's awakened from that illusion that her husband shares her reality. She, right now, for the first time, is glimpsing into her husband's reality, where his dominant power is the power over. And initially, when she starts hopping this, when she starts catching on, her husband's motivation seems incomprehensible to her. It's hard to believe that he treated her as he had in order to dominate her and in order to control her, and not because there was anything wrong with her, and not because there was anything wrong with her perceptions or her feelings or her thinking or her actions or her competence. There was nothing wrong with any of that. And she starts realizing that his abuse had nothing to do with that, but it was more his dominance and need for power over her. And when a wife starts realizing this, and that they're living in two different realities, then she realizes, yes, I've been verbally abused. And it may be deeply shocking when she hops this for the first time. So it's very, very important to recognize that they're living in two different realities. You know, at lunchtime, an abuser comes into the kitchen. Is there anything for lunch? And the wife says, there's salad in the refrigerator. And the husband starts yelling back, "Who? What makes you think I want salad?" So the wife is thrown off balance, because the anger and implication is that she was thinking he wanted salad. And that's why she says, "Why are you mad? I didn't say that." And she answers, "Just lay off of me." He answers, "Lay off of me. You're just trying to create a fight." They're in two different realities. Somehow the wife thinks that he's angry because she somehow upset him by the way she mentioned salad. Now, she knows he loves her, so she believes he must have felt what she was insisting on having the salad, and she'd be happy to have it for her own lunch, and she just doesn't realize it, and maybe we could talk it through. And she tries to explain, "I meant this, and I meant that, and why are you mad?" and she tries to reconcile, and he gets more angry. And this is what abuse is. The abuser denies that they're being abusive, and he gets angrier. She tries harder and harder to understand how saying the salad was in the refrigerator can make him think that she thought that he wanted it, and so she thinks he's not angry about the salad. Maybe he's angry about something else. Maybe he's angry at me for whatever it is. But the real reality is why he's angry is because he's losing his power over her. So, and the sad part is that the more the abused tries to bring reconciliation into the relationship and mutual understanding, it's rejected out of hand by the abuser because the abuser doesn't want this. The abuser wants to be power over the abused. That is the real yesod of what's really happening over here. Now, if he yells at her, she may believe it's because he feels hurt by something she did or something she said. She may believe that he wants to know what she really said. And once he knows this, and he knows that she really loves him, then his hurt will be gone. That's what she mistakenly believes. And then when he says, the husband, I don't know what you're talking about, she really believes that he doesn't know what she's talking about. And she tries to make him understand, and that creates a codependency and an unhealthy codependency. So, and then she thinks to herself, if he's angry at me, then I must be the cause of that anger. So the first way when you recognize verbal abuse, the recognition comes from the fact that you start realizing that the abuser's reality is not your own. That's when you recognize abuse for what it is. When you recognize that he's yelling at me because he wants to control or intimidate me, not because of something I said, not because of something I did. He said that to put me down so he can feel powerful. You start recognizing that. And then you could put your foot down and say, I won't accept this abuse. Don't say it's tikkun amidas by being mevater here in these cases. You ask a shiloh or you get the skills. But this is pikuach nefesh, shmarta misnafshei seichem. The setting limits is something that needs to happen. It's very, very difficult because the husband, in this case, confirmed verbal abuser. When you start setting limits, what's going to happen? They may increase the intensity of the abuse because they feel they're losing control. You want to set limits? I'm going to be even more abusive to increase my control over you that you're trying to escape. So the beginning may be rougher, but you have to hold your ground. You do not need to accept your husband's behavior. With support and counseling, you can determine your needs in this and use it appropriately. Very often, the abused, the wife in this case, loses her self-esteem, loses her sense of self, without even recognizing that she lost it. And what are the aids to do this if you indeed suffer this and you recognize severe verbal abuse? To get professional support help. You could ask your husband to go, it depends on the level of his abuse, but you could ask them to go to counseling with you in a firm way. You want to work on this marriage. It's not going to happen unless you get help with me because you need help as well, or you need help primarily because of the abuse. And if he's unwilling or it's impossible, then you go by yourself and you work on how to cope and handle it to get the proper support and clarity and tools to deal with that abuse that you're recognizing exists now and to set that limits. Not accept your husband's demands on you. Firmly set limits. Refuse to hear anything that will be abusive. It's very difficult to do this because at this point in time, you may not know whether your husband can or will honor your limits. You may not know whether he is willing to honor your limits. you may not realize, is it just that he has a few very bad habits, one of them being verbal abuse, or that there's a real serious hostility going on there that's beyond what you can, then you know, that you can't, you know, help that, and they're going to avoid getting help if they're that way. And this is difficult for the one that's abused because it requires an extraordinary amount of self-esteem in order to overcome this. But this is self-esteem is available to you to build yourself up, to build your self-esteem up, and to set those limits, which is not gaiva. It is not unhealthy. You're thinking, you're focusing on yourself, you're being selfish now by setting limits. It's not gaiva, it's not unhealthy. It is the healthiest thing. It's healthy self-esteem. And it requires an extraordinary trust in yourself, which is not easy because if you've been as a victim for verbal abuse for a long time, your trust in yourself is shaken. But you have to try to work very carefully and strongly to build that trust in yourself against this. This is such an important topic. It's very painful, but it's important to talk about and to recognize. Hopefully, people who are accountable for this and they know they're verbally abusive, hopefully they're at a state where it's not so far gone where they could listen to this and recognize their own patterns, take a hard look at themselves and be willing to change and get the help they need to fix their marriage and to fix their life. We'll continue in the next year more about this, Be'ezus Hashem. It's extremely, extremely important topic, both for the one that is being abused and both for the one that is doing the abuse, because many times they're not too far gone and they could recognize these patterns and make that decision to start working on themselves and fixing this negative pattern and stopping the abuse once and for all. Bracha v'atzlacha.